B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Put it up.
Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome in. I have the perfect dream interpretation for Jamie. I did a lot of research on this. I saw people tweeting about it last night. I caught a little bit on the show yesterday. Trey, it was you and Jamie. Bob and I were off. Was Sam in yesterday?
Yes, she was.
Oh, look at you guys. Warriors. The interpretation of Elton Brand stealing your baby, Jamie, with Paul Pierce as his accomplice.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That is it's a sign that probably this coming offseason, Joel Embiid's going to get traded.
Oh, no!
Boom! Boom! I didn't say it was a good dream analogy.
Well, it all depends who's coming back in return, I suppose.
Well, I guess it does, but I just think it's because we've been calling Joel Embiid such
our
a baby.
Baby.
He's such a baby, yeah, exactly.
He's our baby.
He's our baby. But that means that Joel Embiid is going to take the baby away.
Oh, no.
Yep. Elton Brand's going to take the baby away right there. That's how that's going to go
because
down.
Because Ben and Simmons and Joel Embiid hate each other so much.
Yeah, and, you know, on that, I mean, Trey, what was your interpretation of the dream real quick?
You know what? I have to Google it.
You have to Google it?
Yes, because we Googled it. I went to a dream book. Because, you know, there used to be a book out there back in the day.
So you Googled dream interpretation?
Yeah, dream interpretation.
Okay.
And we put these factors into the Google search.
Yeah.
And the computer went boop, 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 beep, beep. And yep. Something came back.
Something came back?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, from the mainframe? What did it say?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Did you hear this?
Something about disappointment? I'm not sure.
There's some disappointment, some anxiety involved.
Wow.
A lot of stuff going on.
Okay. Bob, did you give a good interpretation of the dream?
I did. Mine was that Jamie was watching too much basketball, and it is stealing time away from his daughter, Skylar. So that was my interpretation.
Probably
so
not accurate.
Stop watching the basketball so much.
Skylar's going to be 13 in therapy. My dad was a deadbeat. Just watched NBA basketball. You know, he had a dream that I got traded or something. But here's the thing. I enjoyed the heck out of All-Star Weekend. I enjoyed it more than I can really remember. Like, I went back to my childhood and was trying to think about a time where I enjoyed it more so than what I enjoyed over the weekend. The only thing, the rhymes and everything, that was all right. It was, I don't know what that was. That was second grade rhyming, I guess.
Well, it was a song.
Everything else was great.
Spoken word.
Yeah. Well, that's generally his style, is it not? More of a slam poet?
I liked Common. I liked the introduction, other than the
Dr. Seuss introductions. but everything else was great. The Jennifer Hudson was phenomenal. I was like crying in my living room. She was so great. And then the game itself, it was okay. Fourth quarter, awesome!
Wait a minute. Whoa.
What?
No, let's not fast forward past Chaka Khan.
Yeah, we can.
So here's the thing. Even if it's a train wreck of a singing performance, mm-hmm. if it revolves around the national anthem, I'm like, she tried to do too much.
It was way too much.
Is that nice to say? Is that a nice way to put that?
But very was it nice better than it. Fergie?
I don't know. In terms of like terribleness,
like which one was worse?
Okay,
which was least worse?
Which was. Okay.
And I got to inform Trey yesterday that Fergie has peed herself on stage.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that. Why did that come up?
She said it was sweat.
It wasn't sweat.
You're not fooling anybody, Fergie.
That's one sweaty thigh. You know what I'm saying?
And she hasn't been heard of from since that All-Star performance.
Well,
she went into hiding.
If you have bladder issues.
Yeah, maybe she's a gusher.
Chaka Khan, maybe. I don't know. Fergie was pretty terrible.
Fergie was awful.
Fergie had the people cracking up. And I guess I got to go Fergie.
Yeah,
Fergie had the votes of the players that thought she was terrible.
Yeah.
Did anybody say anything player-wise on Chaka Khan?
I don't think
Bob,
so.
I know you were all over this.
Yeah, it was bad.
Like, Fergie was mocked, even afterwards.
She was laughed at. Her boyfriend at the time was like, hey, stay off my lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chaka Khan.
And remember, the Warriors did the remix of the Fergie anthem in the locker room. It was like one of their...
Oh, wow.
And then made it like a little dance.
About that. A little dance?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think Fergie won.
But bottom line is, fourth quarter was incredible.
Yes.
But, oh, no. Oh, good morning, everyone.
This is the Warriors dancing in the locker room, though.
Oh, jeez.
So they remixed it?
Yeah. And they were like team dancing.
I just remember reading the story. I didn't hear the remix to it. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think Fergie wins.
Fergie, I think, running away. Yeah, Fergie wins. Run away with it, no doubt. It was a great game in terms of the fourth quarter alone, and the entertainment value was impeccable. But here is something that needs to start, and this to go back to where we were driving originally here. The Ben Simmons versus Joel Embiid stuff needs to stop, because now it's gotten to the point where I feel like people are rooting for it.
Hmm.
And yesterday or Sunday, you hear Charles Barkley while they're showing Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons talk about how those two don't like each other. And Charles, like, I felt like it was a low blow. It felt like a reach. It felt like they needed to say something before they went to a break to fill time. And Charles is like, let me throw this against the wall. I don't want people to start this downward hill, this spiral out of control, that Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid hate each other, therefore cannot play next to each other, therefore one needs to be traded. I want them both here in Philadelphia. I want them to be very successful here in Philadelphia. And I know they can do it because they still haven't reached their full potential yet. Why do we have to root for the negative all of a sudden? Why does that have to be something that now national broadcasters are getting behind? That storyline that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid somehow can't stand one another.
Because it's like a long time ago when I met a national sport or a national anchor. Someone asked him, why do you guys always report the bad news? And he looked that person in the face and said, because nobody cares if I come on the air and says, all is good in South Philly today. Like, seriously, you know, nobody cares. So, yeah, it's horrible, and it's a reach. And look, we've known for years that they're not the best of friends. Who cares?
But even just saying that there's contention there.
I'm of the ilk. Like, I don't care. Like, okay, who did we honor all weekend? Kobe Bryant. Who did he win three championships with?
Five, yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Who three with O'Neal, yes.
Three with Shaquille, who, you know, they infamously didn't get along. Yeah. And, you know, that wasn't just after their playing days were over. I don't care about that stuff. Like, that doesn't bother me a little bit.
I care in this day and age in the NBA where it seems like players at the snap of a finger can just go wherever the hell they want. I mean, Anthony Davis sat out a year just so he could go play for the Lakers. Kawhi Leonard sat out a year just so he could leave San Antonio.
Yeah, you're right to be nervous.
Once you get in that player's ear, I mean, Trey, you know how it is. Mm. You're all we need. Mm. Oh, yeah, what about the people outside of the locker room? They're like, yo, Trey, that John Runyon guy sucks. You need to be the star, man. Mm. You need to be the star. Forget about that other tackle, man. You need to go somewhere else where you're the soul of the offensive line.
Yeah. It could cause a problem. It could.
No, well, what about what everybody else is saying? Because I am not in this locker room for, all day. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that to start to be the narrative of this team, and then already a little smidgen of it could exist right now in reality. I don't need anybody fanning that flame. Because that, to me, that'll be a bust of the process. And I'm not talking about Joel Embiid. I'm talking about the 4 years where we watched Dreck waiting for something special and could have something special. And now all of a sudden we're going to tear it up because of personality. I mean, look at this. We already got gypped a number one overall pick in Markelle Fultz. So already that was one big, awful thing that come out of the process, that whole situation. Wish him nothing but well, but as far as the Sixers are concerned, that was a bust. Now Ben Simmons might never develop a jump shot. Maybe Joel Embiid's not healthy enough, or maybe he'll never be in shape enough to play. Like, there are already things surrounding the process that are poking holes in that theory of doing it. But we do know that we do at least have that potential to go very far, further than what we were in the Andre Iguodala era of the 76ers. We still haven't gotten past that point yet. But we at least have a lot more hope and potential that we can get past the point that we were prior to the process happening. I don't need anybody fanning that flame, especially Charles Barkley. And I will determine this. And I have been the guy that has said Joel Embiid and Charles Barkley, personality-wise, are very similar. in terms of they're the guys that can really do no wrong. Oh, that's Charles. Charles is Charles. Oh, JoJo being JoJo, whatever it might be. And I have said in making that analogy that Charles is the guy that can get away with being, you know, the guy with the headset radio at a wedding. You know what I mean? Oh, what's the score? You know, back in the day when people used to do that before we all had phones. Like, he's the guy who can get away with it. He's the guy who can get away with telling you, yeah, your butt looks big in those jeans. This is the first thing Charles has done, especially in his post-playing career, where I've been like, what the hell, man? Shut up. Like, I don't need him, because if Charles is saying it, the ambassador to Philadelphia, as I think a lot of people outside of here look at him as, oh, Charles, it's Philadelphia, so Charles knows. I don't need him fanning that flame. And when he alluded to those two not getting along and not liking each other during All-Star Weekend, I thought, oh, great. Now this is going to add more credibility to a stupid argument.
But people told me online that I was being too sensitive, and it's clearly just a joke.
No, it's, well, it's not funny. It's not funny even
a little
bit.
Well, that was kind of what I was thinking. It wasn't funny.
There's a little bit of serious in every just kidding, right? That's the saying. And I didn't need to hear that over the weekend. Everything else was great. I thought the NBA did an awesome job. I hated the idea of the All-Star game losing or being lost on a free throw after how great that fourth quarter was. And Kyle Lowry taking the charges and all that stuff. It was awesome. Like, the one thing I take away from it as a Sixer fan is that Ben and Joe, they played a lot, Joe more than Ben. They looked good while they were playing. Ben Simmons gave us a nice little scare when he tripped over his own feet. That made my heart stop for a second. But everything else was great. The only thing that was awful was the comment by Charles Barkley. I'd rather listen to Common do rhymes than Charles Barkley tell me how Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid hate each other. I don't need any of that. I don't need that fan flamed in the least bit.
Maybe it could be a good thing. I mean, you saw the two of them. You saw Simmons come off the bench and smack and beat in the ass, and you saw them yucking it up on the floor a little bit. Maybe, like, now that it's out there, they'll go out of their way to, no, look at us. We're best of friends.
Well, Joel Embiid also did post on social media a picture of him and Ben.
Yeah.
And it just said brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it the one where they were like, where you got the hand on the, you go.
The bro hug?
Yeah, no, the way they like, you go hand to hand.
No.
You know
what I mean? No, I know. You're talking about like Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, and they got the arms all swollen. Boom. Yeah, brothers.
No, it wasn't that one.
No.
It was just them standing there in their uniforms.
And it said brothers?
Looking mean mugging.
Oh, they were mean mugging.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were mean mugging.
Huh.
Pretty hardcore mean mugging. And look, that's fine. And maybe they, and I had that same thought, Bob. Okay, are they now going to put on a show to at least tell people they don't hate each other? Like, they might not be on
smacking asses.
Yeah, that's what Bob's saying. They might be in an area where they're maybe not.
Ben commented under Joel's picture with the snout blowing smoke out of the nose emoji.
The angry emoji.
Yeah.
The high five, I believe, and the muscles.
Best friends in my book.
I don't know. Joel kind of looked like he was, you know, like the ass slap was confusing.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he liked it that much.
He kind of turned around like, was that finger? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It just seemed like it was weird.
Maybe he's like Adrian Beltre. He doesn't like people touching his head. Maybe Joel doesn't like people touching his ass. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I too have I've told you guys about my, I don't like my butt being touched in public. My wife hates it. My wife's like, I'm touching your butt. We're married. I'm like, not in public. I don't like that.
Save that for the boudoir.
Yeah, that's behind closed doors. That's what I say.
But you have a lot of weird rules.
What are weird rules? What I like, what I don't like. Everyone's got stuff they like and they don't like.
Who doesn't like their ass touched by the woman?
Me, in public.
So maybe Joel.
What? Yeah, maybe Joel's the same thing.
Same way.
Maybe he's not a butt slap guy. Maybe he's not the old good hustle guy.
Well, I've never
been a butt slap guy. I don't like the butt slap.
I slap my wife's butt as often as possible.
I can't go.
Oh, yeah, no, I can slap the missus' butt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, yeah, not
teammate.
Not yeah, teammate. Yeah, I've never been a butt slapping guy.
It's literally impossible for me to walk up the stairs behind her and not slap her butt.
Are you even?
I try and I can't do it.
Are you even married if you walk up the steps behind your wife? You don't slap her butt?
I don't think so.
I think legally in the state of Pennsylvania, you're not married unless you do that. Mm. But that's interesting. So you weren't a good hustle guy when you were...
No, never was a good hustle guy. Didn't like it either. Like, people try to slap me on that. Whoa, what are you doing? Don't slap me on that.
And when they come with the real hard on the air, that's no good. And that's what Ben did. That's why Joe gets the old, like,
but
what are you doing?
We're burying the lead.
What's the what?
Did you see what hand he slapped with?
It was the right hand.
It was the right hand.
Now that is the ultimate.
Joel turned around like, was that a squeeze?
Did you pinch at the end?
That was, no, he was like, was that your right hand?
Yeah.
Damn,
I thought you were left-handed.
Now that's the ultimate conspiracy
theory.
You
don't slap ass with your offhand.
Because I was Saprutering. No, you don't. I was Saprutering this film.
I disagree.
You slap.
Well, did you ever? Did you ever like? If you watch, like, if you give a high five or a shake, and then if you do a butt at the same time, you're shaking right, hitting left. If you're right-handed, you know.
That's a lot.
All right, let me.
You just put my brain in a pretzel.
I Zapruder'd this film more than I'd like to admit. And I came away with one thing, but now, Jamie, you got me thinking about the right hand here. It would have been harder to slap with the right hand, which is what he ended up doing,
mm-hmm.
because Joel Embiid, I believe, is on the left side of him.
Correct.
So it could have been an easy square up,
mm-hmm.
bam, slap for the left hand. On the left cheek, supposedly his dominant
hand. But he went right hand, right cheek.
He had to, like, almost if you're thinking about baseball, he had to, like, jump on the other side of home plate to swing.
Uh-huh.
Which is difficult. But he did it, and he pulled it off with perfect execution.
Because he didn't want to go backhand.
No, he did not.
He didn't want to,
right. That's just disrespectful.
Do you have a dominant cheek?
I don't know.
Maybe he was going for his dominant cheek.
Yeah, you have a dominant cheek.
Okay. Only best friends would know each other's dominant cheek.
Which explains more their relationship, I believe.
That's very true. But my other thing was, Joel Embiid, and Trey, you just touched on it. No pun intended. Joel Embiid kind of looked like a guy that was taken aback.
Yeah.
Like, and then it got me thinking, oh, the people that think they hate each other are now going to think, Joe's thinking, oh, get the hell off me, bro. Uh-huh. Or not even bro. Get the hell off me, mortal enemy. You know what I mean? Because you look at the expression on his face, and then, like, it got to be about, like, 20 minutes of me looking at this, like, five-second clip, and I'm like, I should really stop watching this and, like, get a hobby. But I took away from it good, positive vibes. And the fact that he uses right hand now, yeah, that's throwing me off just a little bit.
There you go.
The other thing was that we're going to get into a little bit later today, and we have John Clark joining us from Clearwater, Florida. John Clark, NBC Sports Philadelphia. John has a bit of a rough life, that John Clark, let me tell you.
Yeah.
After I believe, football season,
mm-hmm.
he took a little trip to a little place called Costa Rica.
Oh, okay.
And he just soaked in the sun, man.
That's good.
And then he had to go back to work
mm-hmm.
in Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah, it's beautiful, right?
And John's covering all for spring training of the Phillies. The story that came out of yesterday, and I like the way that somebody described this, but Gene Segura lost a lot of weight and basically came back to spring training and came back to the Phillies as a big dork.
Okay.
Like, he works out, he eats healthy, and he swore off whiskey.
Yeah.
And he lost 14 pounds.
No whiskey, huh?
No whiskey. And as you know, that's my drink of choice. That's where usually my go-to.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of whiskey over the weekend, as a matter of fact.
Not a whiskey drinker. I feel like I'm a cowboy if I go whiskey.
You got to throw on some boots and
some spurs.
Chaps and stuff. Yeah.
Call the missus. It's butt-slapping time. Here's the more important thing is that he's willing to play any position the Phillies need him to play. This is Gene Segura, who I will admit did look a little overweight last year. He's mm-hmm. dropped about 14 pounds. He was underachieved.
Thick, as the kids
say.
Yeah,
I would say that thick is a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. But he's like no whiskey and a more open mind, and he's going to play wherever the Phillies need him. So Joe Girardi wastes no time. Gene Segura playing third base yesterday when the full squad was together for their first workout. Third base, Gene Segura. Second base, Scott Kingery. And this is the world we live in right now, where we're happy when a guy is playing his natural position. We're waiting to see if a guy will play his natural position. And the world we also live in is when we check and see how many minutes Joel Embiid actually played in the All-Star game. Like, this is what matters in sports these days. Like, we have to root for a guy to play his natural position like Scott Kingery and see where a guy like Gene Segura is going to play after having a down year last year. Mm-hmm. That's the world we live in right now. And I am usually around my most optimistic right around this time of year because I'm feeling good. The squad's reported. Everyone's coming into spring training, all that stuff. Clearwater's hopping. We're talking about when the next spring training game is, and we're looking for that and all that. Like, I'm usually my most optimistic around this time of year. And I really haven't changed since we talked about this last week. I do see the Phillies being an 85 to 90 win team. I think they can get in that type of category right there. You know, 86 to 90 wins, if you will. Like, that's where I see the Phillies falling this year. When it's all said and done, that's about the area I see them being in, around the 85 to 90 win marker. And then I was reading the USA Today. And the USA Today, much like the website we pointed out last week with Baseball Prospectus and that Pecota rating system, they had the Phillies at about 77 wins and finishing fourth in the NL East. The USA Today had the Phillies at 85 wins, tied with the New York Mets, but still in fourth place in the NL East. So as we might be optimistic, and Bryce Harper getting to camp and talking about how hard he's worked in the offseason, how much he loved playing here in Philadelphia in his first year, all that stuff, great. And he has you feeling good. And Gene Segura swearing off whiskey and losing weight and playing third base, got Kingery at second, and Zach Wheeler talking about how he wants to win Cy Young Awards. All that might have you feeling optimistic, but the rest of the nation thinks that this Phillies team is a fourth-place team.
Good.
I couldn't be happier about it.
Yeah.
Like, not to,
because they're right.
Not to play total homer.
No, because there's a surprise team every year.
Yeah. Oh,
and why not us?
Why not, Bob?
All right.
People thought the Braves would be a third or fourth place team last year. They ended up winning the division. Nationals, we thought they'd be pretty good. Not World Series good, but they were still pretty good. But they lost Bryce Harper. They still were fine. Like, they've done a fine job for themselves. But right now, I want the Phillies to be the team under the radar. Like, I don't want the hype. Like,
you think, there's no reason for hype. There's absolutely no reason for hype.
Yes, but you have reason for pessimism.
Not pessimism. I'm realistic. Like, what is the what hype? They signed Zach Wheeler?
Oh, yeah.
T.D. Gregorius to 1 year contract?
Joe Girardi, Bob.
Okay, if those three bring you 10 extra wins, good. Great.
Ryan Singer?
Bob,
Gene
Segura. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm being realistic. You have no pop at third. You have no pop in center. You have no pop in left. You have new second baseman, shortstop, third baseman. Upgrades, maybe? I don't know. You have a first baseman that couldn't hit at all, and he's your number one, is your number four hitter. Let's see. You have a center fielder that has all of 220 at-bats. You have a 3, 4, and 5 pitchers, and maybe a 6 that you'll mix in there, that have proven nothing over the last 2-3 years. I'm just finding it hard to find optimism. Mm. I see a 500 team at, yeah.
A 500 team again.
Yeah, I see like 80, 81 wins right around there.
So they, but you just mentioned the upgrades. Like they
you
have
say
made
upgrades.
Yes.
I don't know. They're, what?
Didi Gregorius more than Gene Segura?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Scott Kingery, Cesar Hernandez.
Zach Wheeler is a tremendous
right there.
Gene Segura.
Is that a huge upgrade?
I think so, absolutely. You can play second base every day.
Hey, Cesar Hernandez played every day.
Yeah,
he's as mediocre comes.
Okay. Now, we had this argument last year. Yeah,
and
we
no
were all
pop.
Down. But, all right, 280. I don't know if Kingery's going to have power. He's all muscled up. I mean, what is he?
I think Kingery's going to get 20 home runs.
18 to 20
this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to get 20 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cesar Hernandez gave you what you wanted. He got on base for you. I mean, he was a 280 hitter for you last year. I'm not dying on Cesar Hernandez Hill, for sure. I don't know that there are great upgrades on
Gene
this team.
Gene Segura at third base versus Michael Franco.
33-year-old. Well, Michael Franco we came into last year saying, hey, 25 and 80,
mm-hmm.
we'll take that.
Sure.
And he probably could have had that if Kapler would have played him there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would have hit 240, but
on base percentage of 280.
All right, so, but Gene Segura last year, you know, he fell off a little bit. He's not a heavy hitting third. He's not going to hit you home runs. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm being realistic here. Like, does this lineup? Jamie said, "Oh, it's a great lineup." The other day, I mean, is it?
I think it can be. Yeah.
Now there it is, right there.
Yeah, but we don't know
because Reese
right
Hoskins
there.
Hit 181 last
it
year.
It can be.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's the hope. The realism is, you don't know.
The realism is very talented.
Really? I have a four-hole hitter who couldn't hit for crap last year.
And he's also the quickest player in franchise history to get to 100 home runs.
He was.
And he got screwed up by
analytical guys. I go by what they recently did.
And I hear you, but what's more believable, that he gets back to himself or that he hits 181?
I don't know. I can't.
Well, I'll go on the 2 years of track record that he proved rather than a second half where he couldn't even see a baseball.
And he didn't have a great first half either.
Can we agree that there's a better version of Reese Hoskins?
There can't be a worse, can there?
That's where I'll say there definitely can't be a worse.
Yeah.
It was based off how he ended the season last year.
Oh, it can always be worse.
It just doesn't hit at all.
Yeah.
Like, literally doesn't even get a 180 batting average in the second half of in September last year. Yeah, it was pretty terrible. But, like, I don't think it's overly optimistic to say that there's a better version of Rhys Hoskins. I don't think it's overly optimistic to say Gene Segura is an upgraded third base over Michael Franco. I don't think it's overly optimistic to say that Scott Kingery will have a better year than what Cesar Hernandez could bring.
Has Segura ever played? And I am not arguing against everything. I'm not doing that. I'm throwing out questions of realism. Has Segura ever played third base?
I think he's played a handful of games.
Yeah, I know he's second base and shortstop, yeah. That he's gone back and forth. Like, that concerns me. You know, Kingery or Segura. Okay, two guys that have never played that position. Like, that's a big position. And you're throwing two guys there that really don't have much pop. So, yeah, that concerns me. Adam Haslin, center field, majorly concerns me. Guy coming back, 33 years old, with ACL surgery. That you're saying, oh, that's a leadoff hitter. Once he's there, you know, this team really thrives. Really?
Uh-huh.
Huh. Okay, well, you have one pop in the lineup. That's it. One. One. In Bryce Harper.
Uh-huh.
One. It's a home run league.
Yes.
You have one guy that can consistently hit home runs for you.
That, yeah.
In your whole lineup.
As of right now, yeah.
Like, realistically, I think this is like a 500 team. Zach Wheeler's never won you more than 12 games in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm. Is he better than Jake Arrieta?
Is he better than what your expectations were of Jake Arrieta coming into it's all.
But
what
to be
you
a playoff
think?
Team, you only need to be like eight games better than 500. Like, it's not to be 500 isn't like an insult.
Look here, but here's the thing with Bob's argument.
It's not an insult.
Bob, here's
I'm
your
just
argument.
Saying that's what they are. In my belief.
Your argument is prove it, and then you can say it about every team in baseball.
No, you can, and you can say hope of every team in baseball. There's no
right,
question.
Of course.
But if we realistically look at this,
I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series. I'm saying they're going to make a wild card.
Yeah,
85 to 90 wins is not overly optimistic. No. I think it's a fair assessment of what has been presented to you by the Phillies front office.
Yeah, I just don't see major
improvement. They're not huge upgrades.
Five,
but they are
six
upgrades.
Wins better is where you're going. That's not major. You're right. That's not major.
Right.
I don't think they're going to compete for a wild card.
That right there is pessimism. That right
it's
there is
not,
pessimism.
It's realism.
But you're also are they going to play meaningful games in September? Not that that's the goal.
If I'm a better, no, I don't think so.
Wow.
I just don't. You can't win with two pitchers.
Bob hates the Phillies. I'm out. Almost as much as he hated Nick Foles.
Who did the 2008 Phillies win with?
Nobody.
16 wins from Jamie Moyer.
No, here's where I wanted to get. I didn't even want to go near that argument because that was our argument.
Well, he's only bringing it up because he said you can't win with two pitchers. That team won with.
But okay, I understand that. That's what we talked about
look
last
at the
year. We're like, if they're going to win, it's going to be because they're going to be
Zach
like the 2008
Phillies.
Zach
Wheeler is a massive upgrade. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay, now here's why I won't go massive.
It's massive because who's he compared to? He's compared to a Jake Arrieta that sucked and a Nick Pavetta who that was a joke to have him as a number two entering the season.
All right, here's the only thing.
So compared to that, he's massive.
The only thing I take away from this conversation is that Gene Segura swore off whiskey and maybe I need
and
to.
Bob hates the Phillies.
And Bob hates the Phillies. 610-632. And Trey still hasn't been undefeated.
Until we start playing, we undefeated.
Good point. That is a good point.
We got Pete and Princeton. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. One of the best things about the Astros cheating scandal to come out is great for bettors. And we'll get into that in a second because I think this is one of the best bets you can make in baseball. Time of the Fanatic, 624.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit unitedrentals.com. Here's a great thing for bettors. The Houston Astros, a lot of the reaction from around the league, a lot of the punishment is going to come from the players.
Hell yeah.
Sure as hell ain't going to come from the commissioner, as it turns out. And Mike Trout even was like, hey, the commission needed to do more.
Yeah.
It's like, good for you, Mike Trout. Yeah, bring that South Jersey at you there, Manfred.
That's right.
But here's an interesting line, and Jamie, you were telling me about this yesterday. 83.5 is the line for hit batters. by the Astros this year.
I feel like Chase Utley used to get about half of that himself.
So I was looking over the numbers, and this is what 95 hit by pitches. The New York Mets led the league in getting hit by pitches last year with 95, followed by Cincinnati at 89, Oakland at 87, Cubs at 83, Minnesota and the Dodgers at 81. So 83.5, I think, is a very low number right there.
Yeah, that's doable.
I'm sorry, did you piss off the rest of Major League Baseball?
Absolutely.
You're going to get hit 83 times by the Dodgers alone next this coming season. Like, that is a great... are you taking action on that, Jamie? Are you putting some money on it?
The only reason I might not is because I think Manfred's going to soil himself and start giving out suspensions.
Ooh.
And might try to scare people off of it. But then it becomes a real slippery slope because you're taking away, you know, a pitcher's game plan. Like, what if you actually want to pitch inside and get somebody off your plate and you hit them by accident? Like, in a genuine accidental plunking. Then what? You get suspended?
I like whenever that argument gets brought up, the commissioner's always like, oh, no, what's serious?
Yeah, okay, buddy.
Yeah.
But then it becomes a player's union issue because if a player didn't mean to plunk him and gets suspended and loses wages, he's going to go to his union. The union's going to have to battle the league. So it's a real slippery slope there. So I might avoid it. I think the all-time high is 105 hit by pitches with the 98 Indians. It seems too easy, you know? There's something fishy about it.
A little bit. Trey, could you imagine for a second if the NFL Players Association had the NFL on the short leash that the MLBPA has the MLB on?
Yeah.
The world would be a better place.
Yes.
Pete in Princeton. What's going on there, Pete?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
My question is, when you guys were talking about an Embiid and Simmons thing, and I guess I'm kind of more on Bob's side, my question is, if we would lose Embiid or Simmons via trade, something else, someone goes somewhere, and you guys had a pool with all the hosts of all the shows taking Anthony out because Anthony would win the pool hands down, who would be the first host to go, I think we're actually better without him? Who would be the first host that would come, the first guy to come through and say, hey, you know what? I think this team can now flourish when Ben's by himself, or when Joel's by himself. What host do you think would be the first guy that would go, actually, I think we're better without one of those?
I think I know. Because it's the person that I believe started the trade talk about trading one or the other. And that man's name is William Wyatt Thomas, Trey Thomas III. And he's to my left right here. Good morning, Trey.
Good morning.
we'd all at least admit that Gargano would be first. He can't be in the poll because he'd be the first one, right?
Wait, first one for what? To say trade him?
Not to say trade him, but when the trade happens, or when he leaves, which I don't think is happening, but when it would happen, would say, actually, I think the Sixers might be better with
him. I think he'd be in a depression shell.
Pete, thanks for the call. I don't want to play a hypothetical with another host's opinion, but...
I know him pretty damn well. He'd be depressed for a while.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I
he loves both those guys.
But can we just acknowledge for a second that Trey's the one that started all this?
Yeah.
What?
He just put the one tweet out there, and that got everybody in a tizzy.
How did I start?
Because you asked the question months ago. You said, hey, you know, maybe this team's just a little bit better, do you think?
You asked
the question.
I hate to ask the question.
Right.
But is this team better without Embiid?
Right. And then everyone else is now because of you, everyone thinks Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid hate each other.
Okay. Wow. Way to go, Trey.
Look at you.
I'm the guy now.
You ruined the process.
It is I. I shall wear the scarlet letter of shame.
Look, we started the show off by saying we want to be done with that stupid narrative that these two hate each other. And look, there is so much to sell with that headline, isn't there? There is so much to sell with the clickbait of Ben and Joe hating each other.
He hasn't been in the candy room.
Look, this is how desperate people are.
Good point, Trey. Good point. Ben better invite him over.
And Joe's like, you slap my ass, I'm not coming over.
You slap my ass, you owe me a visit to the candy room now.
you think about it. This, people have been so desperate for this story that the first time I heard it was the Colin Cowherd fella with the half-baked takes that he always has. And this is how desperate. Would you put out on the air if people didn't hate each other? Would you put it out that these guys, hey, they don't hate each other, but they're not boys? Like, is that a story?
Shouldn't be.
Is that a story? No. This is how desperate the national media is to see Philadelphia fail. I'm not kidding you in the least bit here. You have to be so desperate to cling to that story before it's a story. Oh, they don't love each other. You know, they don't hate each other, but they're not boys. You're not going to get them to see him hanging out with them. Okay. So he doesn't hate a coworker, but he's not his best. Who gives a damn?
They're not going to the Sizzler together?
They're not even going to Red Lobster together, man. These are two guys.
Cheddar
that
Bay
just,
biscuits.
They're delicious. They're just two guys that are playing basketball with each other and trying to learn each other's games so they can play a better basketball together. Like, why is that even a story? And then to hear Charles Barkley, I felt like he stabbed all of us in the back when he was fanning that flame over the weekend. Please, was this a thing yesterday? Were people getting into this yesterday at all?
No, not really.
Just on Twitter?
Yeah.
To me, that's the number one thing that jumped out to me about the All-Star game.
Well, I think if you're an outsider looking in and you see what this organization did for those 4 years and how embarrassing it was. Like, if we were outsiders looking at another organization doing what the Sixers did, we probably wouldn't have a good taste in our mouth towards that organization, right? Like, I don't think, say the Houston Rockets did exactly what the Sixers did. Are all of a sudden national people going to be, go Rockets, go Rockets? I think no. I think it goes the other way where it's like, oh, God, I don't care if that team does well or not. So I think they're looking for the Sixers to do bad on the national level because they hated the process that they went through to get here.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I think it's heightened even more. Yeah, they want to look. Plus, there are two big personalities in this game now, and people don't want that. If you don't have it, mm-hmm. you don't want somebody else to have it.
In terms of fodder, that was the number one thing that I saw from the All-Star break that I'm like, really? This is like as great as it was, as great as the fourth quarter was, and I enjoyed that on. As great as Ben and Joel Embiid actually played. I mean, Joe with the little dream shake that he threw on LeBron James late in that game was nothing short of spectacular. I don't want the talking point to be from Charles Barkley about why this could fail. And that's something that really bothers me because he's supposed to be one of the guys that's supposed to really champion the cause for Philadelphia. At least that's how we look at him. And I don't know if he was trolling us, but it didn't seem like it. It seemed like that was the first thing on his mind when he saw Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons together. Someone saying, oh, Ben and Joe, poking fun at him. Oh, wouldn't be the first time.
Well, he's butthurt over what Embiid said. You know, after he and Shaq talked to him at first, Embiid was, oh, great, I love those guys, thanks a lot, I appreciate it. But then he's caught up and said, I don't need to hear that from them. I'm not what they think I am.
Players Tribune article, yeah.
Yeah, he's got something going.
All right, coming up in a minute here, there's some Eagles talk out there with a potential corner that the Eagles could be going after. Our friend Adam Schefter. Putting out a nice little tweet yesterday. We'll get into it in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A day off really feels like nothing when you do a morning show. Because your day off is like essentially done. Like you think of it in your head. Like when we're here, we're usually here till 10:30, 11 o'clock. But like, well, at 10 o'clock, I'm like, well, my day off's kind of done already.
I was thinking the same thing yesterday. I was driving around. I looked at the clock. It was 11:30. And I thought, yeah, that's it. Your day off is over. And that's messed up.
It's all about the sleep.
Yeah, it is, but we can't even do that well on our days off. Like I told you yesterday, I woke up at 2:30, I was up for about an hour, and I was like, until my body said, no, it's okay, you're off today, you can go back to sleep. So I tried it, didn't work real good.
Doesn't
matter for me. Yeah. Real well, Bob, Mother Teresa does good. Come on, Mr. Journalism, man.
I get up all the time anyway.
Where's your huge upgrade from Segura to Didi Gregorius, by the way?
Didi Gregorius is awesome.
Okay.
He's better than Gene Segura.
Top that, Bob.
You want some numbers here? Segura, batting average, 286. Didi, 264. Average home runs a year. Segura, 11. Didi, 16. RBIs a year, 50 for Segura, 59 for Didi. Woo! There's 10 more wins for you, James. Where's your huge upgrade?
He's a better player. Flat out. He's a better clubhouse guy. His teammates love him. Okay. He's got more power. He's a better fielder.
I mean, just five more homers a year.
Okay.
And nine more RBIs.
Is that not more power?
Is that changing power that's going to win you more games?
Wow, why do you hate the Phillies
huge
so much,
upgrade?
Bob?
No, I'm just saying, like, where's your huge upgrade?
Zach Wheeler is a huge upgrade. Didi Gregorius is an upgrade.
I don't see huge upgrade that you said before.
You keep saying huge. I'm just saying upgrade.
James, I'm repeating what you said. You said huge upgrade.
Your entire left side of the infield will be better than last year.
It's not a huge upgrade.
When you're making third base and shortstop both better at the same time, yes, it's better.
All right, third base going into last year, Michael Franco, 22 home runs, 77 RBIs was his averages. You're not getting that from your third baseman this year.
So you're a Michael Franco stan now?
I'm just saying, tell me the numbers that are supporting you, that's all.
There's more to it than anything, a box score.
I can't say it's a huge upgrade because he's a good clubhouse guy.
Right, hold on a second. I'm with Bob as far as, and this is what I said at the time, when we were flirting with Didi Gregorius before he was even acquired, I was like, it's going to be an upgrade, but not a huge upgrade.
That's
like,
I said it's an upgrade.
Yeah,
and I think it makes you third. I didn't say huge, I said Zach Wheeler is a huge upgrade. Didi Gregorius is an upgrade.
Here's where I'm going to go to here. The entire infield, I think, has been upgraded.
Yes,
Gene Segura, I think he's going to have a better year than he had last year. Not ridiculously.
And you can't downplay a guy playing on a contract year that's trying to get that big money.
He's got to prove a deal, Bob.
Oh, okay.
Prove a deal.
Okay, you can't. So he's going to go from a 16 home run average to 30 because he's playing for a contract.
Well, if he plays. Well,
you know, I don't know. If I'm a player, I'm trying to play as well as I can every year, but the numbers won't just start popping out because I'm trying to play for money.
So you're denying contract? To your performance now?
Okay, he's going to go from 16 to 30 because he's playing for a contract.
He played like half the year last year.
His average over the years, Jamie, is 16 home run a year. It's not last year only.
And he's also batting, where was he in the Yankees lineup? I'm just saying.
He's a 264 lifetime hitter.
He's good. All right, he sucks. Screw it.
I'm not saying that.
This season sucks.
See what I mean? You go to extremes, James. I'm just giving you numbers.
You're putting extreme upgrades in words in my mouth. I said he's an upgrade.
Okay. Let me look at your Twitter thing, so I'm pretty sure you said something about huge upgrades.
Are we done with this?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying. All right, here's all I have.
Are either one of them making the All-Star team? Are either one of them going to be even flirting with that?
Wheeler should be.
No. I'm talking about Gene Segura this epic debate of Gene Segura versus Didi Gregorius.
No.
One, I believe, is slightly better than
Wheeler
the other.
Wheeler should be an All-Star?
Oh, God. I'm asking.
He should be in the running.
If he gives you what he did in the second half last year, yes, he should be an All-Star. You paid him to pitch like an All-Star.
All right, since he's had Tommy John the last three, you paid him. He's 26 and 22 with a 4 ERA. Okay, it doesn't jump out to me like all that big.
Everything is the box scores, Bob.
I'm just saying, Jim, what else do you have to go on? He had a good last half of the season.
Trey, how was your day of work yesterday?
It was beautiful. You know, we came in, we the microphones turned on, and...
Oh, wow. Yeah. I heard they almost didn't turn on.
We had some problems over the weekend.
There's a lot going on this weekend.
You and I would know that, Trey, if we read our company emails.
Yeah, I don't read company emails.
Only when they're addressed to you for eating somebody else's chicken wings.
Only when I was told about the email that was sent.
That was not direct to you.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, we did not. We still don't check our company emails.
That's a negative. We should definitely learn to be better about that.
I'm good.
All right.
And by the way, Bob, as Jay Bing points out on Twitter, Didi is actually replacing Cesar. He's not replacing Segura. Segura stays in the lineup. So Didi, compared to Cesar, is a tremendous upgrade. Okay. Thank you.
Do you even have the password to your company email?
I can't believe you guys didn't read about the flood.
I did not. I don't.
Fire and flood.
That's what I'm saying. If they ever going to fire me, they should send that to the company email.
So that you show up and they have to escort you out. And you're like, yeah, I dare you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Take your best shot.
Send it to the company email.
Exactly. Yeah, good luck to you. Oh, you're the guy that's going to remove?
Yeah.
Because I've seen the security staff. I like my odds.
I like them.
They're great people. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying if it comes to Mr. Thomas, you're going to have to leave. I'd be like, yeah, okay.
You're not getting me out of here.
You're adorable. And I'd pat their head and be like, oh, you're going to try. That's cool.
Oh, man. Yeah. I should figure out my password. was going on.
To be honest, you don't want to come to email.
I don't know. I went in there one time and it was just way too much.
Yeah,
I was
like, all right, I'm out of this. I can see Trey going and hitting a reply all and then just turn it off.
There's a lot of reply all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Those people deserve a special place in hell.
What was Egan, wasn't it?
I think just to get under my skin because he knows how much it bothers
me. Wait, he replied all and made everyone suffer just to get to you? That is sinister, man. That is sinister. I will say this. One thing that did happen over the holiday, the Valentine's week and all that stuff, the Friday night.
Aside from Bob's hatred of the Phillies growing.
I met up with Dieter Gregorius and Gene Segura. I flew down there just to be like, hey, brace yourselves, guys.
Bob's angry.
I saw the Will Ferrell, Julie Louis-Dreyfus movie.
Oh, you saw that?
Downhill,
did you really?
Because my wife really wanted to see it.
I love Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, she's amazing, and she's great in this.
It's a good movie?
No, it's not great.
What's the name of this movie?
Downhill.
It's like an avalanche, right? Is that what happens?
Immense. Yeah. There's an avalanche featured.
Yeah.
But the avalanche isn't like the whole movie's not them trying to get out of an avalanche. You know what I'm saying?
I've said this before. I think she may be top three funniest women ever.
Ooh.
Okay. All right.
That's
I can see why you'd make that argument.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.